Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Welcome to ENN. And yes, I am Peter Rosenberg, and I am less than an hour away from my first cheat meal of the weekend.
What do you have?
Very excited. I believe I'm going to order from a restaurant up here that had been closed, and they've popped back up on Seamless, La Dinastia on 72nd Street. Do you know it?
No, is that Italian or Spanish?
Oh, no. It's a special of my neck of the woods, of like Chinese and sort of Latin fusion.
Really?
So it's like you can get your traditional... Don, you'd love this place. You get your traditional Chinese food, your sesame chickens, your General Tso's, your egg rolls, your egg drop soup, all those things. But then they also have like traditional Puerto Rican and Dominican meals and chicken and mofongo and rice. And it's just everything.
Exciting.
And there's a lot of restaurants and shops that have reopened over the last 48, 72 hours. So I guess that's one of the places that is able to do it.
Yeah. So... excited for it. Excited. Also, should mention to the wrestling fans, I'll be back on the WWE Network on Sunday, the kickoff show for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. So you can check out your boy at 6 p.m. on the WWE Network. Hey, let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
You know the date. It is March 8th. No, it's not. It's May 8th.
Well, let's say good evening to Don.
The movie Hard Bodies, 1984.
Now, let's say hello to Adam Schefter, who's on SportsCenter and was asked about what will happen if the season starts late.
There really are no trap doors built into the schedule. Yes, everybody in week two has the same bye week at some point later on. But there's nothing that says to people, oh, intra-conference games early on. Here are the key elements that basically, as they are right now, if the start of the season is delayed, the early weeks could occur after week 17. In other words, week one, we go to week 18, week two to 19, three to 20, and so on and so forth.
And that's what they did after 9/11.
And he talked about the Super Bowl date as well.
Super Bowl 55 holds the key to everything. Now, I want to be very clear. There are no discussions, no active discussions to push that off. I even spoke to the head of the Super Bowl committee today who said it's not even an option right now. The plan is to have the Super Bowl on Sunday, February 7th. The league is proceeding as if it's business as usual. But there are people around the league who believe that that would be the key, that the league could fold that Super Bowl back, push it back, and then take the early part of the season, if any of it has to be missed, and move that back later. Again, hypotheticals, flexibility. The league has built that in wisely, but it's not proceeding as if that will be the plan. It's proceeding as if these games will occur.
Boy, the NFL could end up being the league. Now, I don't believe it will, but it could end up being the league that's untouched by this.
Well, so
because
far that's been the case, right?
We work out everything that has to be worked out, and I don't know how that's going to happen, but the NFL has the most time to have it work out. Baseball, you know, we're already 2 months into the season. They've stopped basketball and hockey. Football could be totally unscathed if they figure it all out. They could be. I'm not saying they will be, but they're best positioned to be totally unscathed. The one sport that won't be touched, and they've continued to do business as usual despite everything. The free agency, the illegal tampering, the draft, nothing. Nothing was touched.
The biggest sports story of the pandemic, Tom Brady going to Tampa. I mean, it's just circumstances, right? But the most popular sport in this country has been able to maintain. And so it's fueled them. It's really put them in a great position. And it's just circumstances. Now, when you say unscathed, Michael, are you saying that you're assuming that there'll be fans? Because
no.
I think that would hurt them. I can't imagine there being fans on opening weekend.
Well, they'll be unscathed in terms of their schedule not being touched.
And that's fine.
Because I'd be surprised if their first 4 weeks have fans. I really would.
And, again, and I think of the four major sports, Peter, that's the one that I think is least affected by the gate is football.
Which is funny because they have the biggest gate.
But they only have 8 gates.
True.
And the amount of money they make in national television money, they're not beholden to any local television money. And I agree with Don. The percentage of revenue for football with the gates is probably the smallest.
You know what? Maybe it's time for some Tom Brady watch.
You're too old!
Brady watch.
Come on now, fellas! 35!
52!
Hey! Hey! That's my kid.
All right, guys. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
Well, the NFL schedule is out, and week one, the opening Sunday of the NFL season, 4:25 p.m. on Fox. That's right, a classic NFC South battle that includes Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and the Saints against Tom Brady and the Bucs. Overall, the Bucs are scheduled for the maximum allotment of primetime games, including in weeks 6 through 8. Some other highlights of the schedule. The Chiefs will host the Texans to kick off the season on that Thursday night in KC.
I wonder if the Texans will get out to an early lead.
Great point. The Patriots will host the Dolphins in week one, so we could be watching the classic Tagovailoa-Stidham battle that we've all expected. And we have another Thanksgiving Day triple header with implications for me. That would be the Texans-Lions at 12:30. The classic, the Redskins and the Cowboys at 3:25, just in time to ruin my Thanksgiving. And the Ravens and Steelers at 8:20. Christmas Day, we will have one game. It'll be the first NFL game on a Friday since 2009. They're running the Vikings and the Saints. Pretty good game on Christmas Day. Now, speaking of Tom Brady, he is also, him and his Bucks are an underdog in week one against the Saints right now. In fact, they open up as 6.5-point dogs in New Orleans, according to Caesars. This will be Brady's first time as an underdog in the regular season for the first time since week two of 2015 when the Pats were 1-point dogs to the Bills. Brady was favored in his next 74 starts.
You know, they went through the schedule for the Bucs on the schedule show yesterday, 8 on ESPN, and Ryan Clark, in their first 10 games, what do you think he had the record of the Bucs first 10 games?
8-2.
9-1. Had them cool off a little bit after that, but still, I think he had them with 12 wins.
Now, Tom Brady's been busy. He also went on Instagram and responded to some of the things Peyton Manning's been saying about him as they get ready for their big golf matchup on May 24th. Here's Brady accusing the Manning family of some nefarious things.
Well, I just wanted to have a little fun with it. I actually thought I was going to be Tiger's partner, but then Peyton's dad called and switched the team. So Bill and I decided to get together and see if we could take him on. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get out there. My golf isn't quite what it probably was at one point, but I got a good partner. And, we got some great competition, so it should be a lot of fun.
Any chance that while he made that joke, he didn't really know how Peyton would feel about it, taking a little shot at... It's really more of a shot at Archie and Eli.
No. Was that on the same broadcast, or did he take time after they were all together and put it on his Instagram?
I'm not sure, actually. I just have the Instagram clip. Not sure.
They were all joking around, so I don't know. I mean, Peyton...
I doubt it.
But sometimes made fun of Brady, like, getting arrested in Florida. So.
That's true. But sometimes, Don, sometimes it's all fun and games, and then you mention someone's family member, and it's not funny anymore.
Yeah. You don't want to be that that line stepper, right?
Yeah. And then someone goes way too far and says, well, that's why your mom's dead. And then everyone goes, oh, my God.
Ooh.
That's why your mom's dead. That doesn't even make sense. It's just horrible. Let's keep it in the area of aging quarterbacks and hear from Philip Rivers, who... You know, he's got only about 30 or 40 kids of his own. He's still got an NFL career going.
Sure.
And now he was named the head football coach at St. Michael Catholic High School on Friday. Let's hear from Rivers.
I've lived my childhood dreams. I've had two childhood dreams. And one was playing NFL. I've been able to do that now going on my 17th season and still love that and excited to carry on that dream. And the other is to be a high school football coach, as my dad did. So it's an exciting day. I mean, it really is. I'm going, wow, how blessed am I to be able to live both of those out.
He won't take over until he retires from the NFL, but as you could hear in his voice, quite excited. The man must love kids.
I mean, are the jobs that scarce that they have to sign him now? He might play three more years.
Well, maybe he's not. I mean, I felt like that sounds like a guy who's going to be just one and done. Because why would you commit to something and it'd be 3 years down the road? And as emotionally was, sounds like there's a lot going on to where this is going to be it for him. His last season, and then go on to coaching.
It's a good point. How do you, Don? You're very wise.
He's 38, man. So I don't think he doesn't look to me as somebody that's going to play into his 40s.
But he's got a lot of college educations to pay for.
Yeah.
He might need another year of $25
million. He'll be all right.
The Raiders will make their Las Vegas regular season debut in the second week edition of Monday Night Football. They will host the Saints at their new Allegiant Stadium in a game that will be on ESPN and ABC. What's up with that?
What do you mean, what's up with that?
Why is it being simulcast on ESPN and ABC? Is that happening with all the Monday Nighters?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I wonder. Maybe they're doing it a lot because ABC is not going to have new programming because they're not shooting any series right now.
And this could grease the skids for ABC to take over.
Yeah. If they want a Super Bowl, they're going to have to move Monday Night Football back to ABC. They're not going to. I don't think the NFL would feel comfortable having a Super Bowl on cable.
But I haven't. I didn't bother to look, Michael. Do all of the Monday Night games say ESPN ABC?
I didn't notice that. Again, I'm like you. Question. I didn't look at it.
The opening week Monday Nighters, the early game will be the Steelers and the Giants at 7:15. Followed by a game everyone gets geared up for, the Titans and the Broncos at 10:10.
It's amazing. Monday Night Football will happen, in September? And we don't know who the announcers are. They haven't told us if Joe and Booger are coming back or if they're going to change, and if they change to whom. It's amazing.
But I will say, I don't know that I would argue we're off to a roaring start with that doubleheader.
Yeah, you could put on the three of us against three other people, and they'll get a nice number.
Well, the Monday night doubleheader?
Yeah.
I mean, Giants Steelers is
two big fan bases.
No. It's I didn't say it'll get a bad number. I'm talking about bad football. It's not special.
You got Ben Roethlisberger coming back.
We have no idea what that's going to look like. I think there's a chance that Ben Roethlisberger of this year could look. My prediction of the way Ben Roethlisberger looks as a quarterback, and guys, we all know we've talked about it before. I'm biased about the way he plays the game because I think it's hideous. Wouldn't you guys agree that there's a chance that with the style that he plays and his motion, when he falls off the cliff, it could be disgusting?
Yes.
It could be horrifying, unlike anything you've seen. Rivers, too. Like, Rivers already was leaning off the cliff last year. People with unorthodox styles age really badly once the aging kicks in. But we'll see.
All right. I just got the answer.
Here okay. we go.
September 21st is going to be the 50th anniversary of Monday Night Football.
There you go.
So on that night, they will air on both for the 50th anniversary.
But this is week... This is
September
week
21st.
Which is September 21st, yeah.
Did you see Jay Glazer has a weekly mailbag on The Athletic? And boy, he took a broadside shot at Roethlisberger. Like, somebody asked him about Roethlisberger's workout coming back from the injury. He goes, workout? Guy's never worked out in his life. Doesn't work out. Has no workout plan at all. Just goes there and plays. He said he's not like other guys. He just doesn't go into a gym. He just doesn't.
Well, that doesn't necessarily have to be a shot.
But it could make you age faster.
But I can almost take that as a compliment. Like, I don't know if he meant it as that he's lazy.
No, he meant it. He meant it negatively. Let's see if I could.
Well, listen, Jay Glazer loves him in the gym.
That's coming from somebody that that does hit the gym pretty hard.
He loves it to the point that, let's be honest, he looks a little weird and freakish.
I think he looks terrific.
I wouldn't agree with that, Peter.
Which part, me or Michael?
You know, I don't agree with Peter. He's fine.
No, he's an interesting-looking fellow. Sometimes when you're a certain height, I understand what it's like. You know, that's why I don't get so jacked. I just try to keep it modest, you know? Because when you get overly jacked like Glazer, it just can get a little strange. But I think he could beat me to a pulp, so I'm going to wrap this up.
All right, so let me just give you – I have it right here. Because you tell me if he's being complimentary.
Go ahead.
Now I can't find it.
Don't fail us. You already got our hopes up.
The way you said it, though, I could see where he was – trying to be complimentary, like he just doesn't work out. He just shows up. He can do that. He's got that ability, which is a gift, right, Peter? If you can play in the NFL.
Sure. But that's probably not what he meant.
Nah, it's not here.
He's always been a little doughy.
What do you mean by doughy?
I wouldn't say Roethlisberger was muscular.
Oh, Roethlisberger, yes. Roethlisberger's doughy.
Yeah, no. Sure. Jake Glazer's
I wonder if they
doughy.
Took it out, because it's not. It's not in this mailbag.
Well, let us know if you find it there, Kaster.
Okay.
There were fans in the stands for a baseball game in Taiwan on Friday. They were spaced far apart as a safeguard against
coronavirus. Okay, I got it. Can I read it?
Perfect timing. Yes, thank you.
First of all, let's not put the words fitness and Ben Roethlisberger together. They are allergic to each other. There is no fitness in Ben Roethlisberger. His idea of a great off-season workout program is doing one yoga session, playing golf, and drinking some beer.
That was not a compliment, what you just read.
Right.
Okay.
Continue. I'm sorry, Pete.
That's why context is important, right?
Yes.
All right, kids. So Taiwan, I was just saying, Michael, they attempted to have baseball games with an actual crowd. About 1,000 spectators are now allowed at ballparks in Taiwan. They cannot bring in food or concession stands. So there's still rigorous measures in place, but it was the first time we have seen fans in the stands at a competitive sporting event. So just 1,000 people, loosely spaced, but it's better than nothing, right?
I would like people to take notice of what's going on in that country, though, in terms of mitigation, in terms of completely flattening the curve. This is not happening at this point in this country yet. So they have a little bit more leeway than we would have if we started right now. We're not starting right now, but that's the key. I also saw a video of young kids going into school in China and what they do. It's amazing. When the kid's walking into the school campus, they spray his feet with a disinfectant. They spray his shoes. So when he's walking in, he's not carrying anything that he had in the street. Then they spray his whole body with a disinfectant. He has to turn around. They do it on his back, his backpack, the whole thing. Then vigorously hand washing. Then he puts his eyes up to some kind of a computer unit to take the temperature and see if there's anything on the body that would, you know, show up as a germ. And then one more time through where they wipe him down and everything. And that's before he can be allowed in school. That's the stuff that has to be done, I think, in order to really get back to any kind of sense of normalcy. My kids next year are going to be in second and first grade. You're going to keep like 25 kids away from each other by 6 feet? No. So you're going to have to do stuff that before you get them in.
But that's fine, because that's something kids have to go back to school. All right. And you're still talking about a small number of people per class and in a school. How are you doing that at a sporting event? How are you going to disinfect 50, 60,000 people?
Well, you can take temperatures.
But we've seen that that's not 100%. And you mentioned flattening the curve, Mike. Oh, look what we've had to do to flatten the curve. So we will get to a point, and I'm praying that it happens sooner than later, that we're going to hear that everything kind of zeroed out, hopefully, right? The hospitalizations, people on ventilators, and people who died. Because we flattened the curve, and we've got to the point where it's down to a negligible amount. But once you open it up, then it could spike back up again, right? So you can't look at the numbers zeroing out and say, okay, we finally beat it. Now we can go back to normal, because then once you go back to normal, right, theoretically with the virus still lurking, then hospitalizations go up, people on ventilators go up, people who die go up. So I just can't even wrap my mind around any fans going in, Michael, logically, until there's either a treatment that assures that you don't end up in the hospital with this, or at least minimizes it to a certain point, or there's a vaccine.
Yeah, but you're saying that, I once again say that the giant Monday nighter against the Steelers, we are exactly where we are right now. Let's hope that's not the case in 4 months, but we're exactly where they are. And the Giants open up MetLife Stadium for whomever wants to show up. Caveat emptor. Your risk. Bet you the place is jammed.
The way things are right now?
Yeah, I believe that.
I think people will go, because I think there are people that, you know, there's still the truthers out there and people that don't feel like wearing masks. There's still those amount of people. But to say that there'll be 80,000 people in that building, if things are going on right now, I think so.
There's first of all, the governors wouldn't allow it. But if everything was loosened up and the infections were the way they are, the deaths the way they are, maybe I'm being hyperbolic by saying it would be jammed. There would be a lot of people that would go.
Because you could talk about a beach, because you're looking at that because of what's happened in Florida, where you look at the beach and everybody's together, right? You're probably basing a lot of that
on people in the public eye that are saying, I don't believe in masks. I'm going out. The economy is crap. There's enough people that feel like that.
I know there's a lot, but they all have to be sports fans and all want to be able to go to the game, Michael. And also, there's something about, like, follow me here, Peter. If you're on a beach or you go to the park, like Peter's complaining, looking out his window, all those people in the park, it's still an open space. You can still, if you see somebody that coughed or sneezed, you can kind of like run in the opposite direction, right? You're not all herded together. There's a chance that you can kind of veer off. You're in a stadium and you're locked into that seat with somebody literally touching you, and hand railings and escalators.
Peter, do you believe people would be in there?
Yes. I don't know to what degree. I'm truly miffed at this point by all of it. By the way, though, we did a little bit of good news today. Mayor de Blasio was saying that we are unquestionably winning the battle and things are going the right direction. And we're getting closer to the markers, essentially, but we're still a long way away. So,
now, what's a long way away?
No idea.
And that's why football has an advantage, because they're a long way away from starting.
Because you're talking about September.
And what happens if we get better and better and better, and in 3 weeks we're, you know, really in pretty good shape, and the rest of the country's in the worst shape it's been in?
Good call. I don't know.
But will there be a repeat of what happened in New York somewhere else?
Not like New York.
Well, because New York has so many people in it, too. So, I mean, New York and L.A. has already gone through it. I mean, there could be a spike again, but, you know, what city? I mean, Chicago also has had a rough time.
Mm-hmm. But nothing's New York.
Yeah,
the way we travel here, public transportation-wise, is...
Travel, live, the amount of, and again, if this came from Europe, like they're now speculating, think of, you know, all the people, the millions of people that
this
were
whole experience,
and going
Don, from. Has completely changed Peter. I've heard from several people. He hasn't told me. He's going to be surprised. I know he's already hired a real estate agent looking for an estate away from the city.
Well, you know what?
Don't laugh. It's happening.
It's a thought. I certainly miss the ability to go outside. I saw a couple places, rental properties recently, that had outdoor space.
Do it.
So maybe I'd maybe sell my place and get a rental place that has outdoor space. But I'm talking about, they're still in Manhattan, but you can at least go outside. It just, the only option being to go outside with other people is not ideal.
But what we have to see here, because we're probably, about a week away from when things loosened up, right? With the parks opening in New Jersey, that's going to be 1 week this weekend. And with Georgia kind of loosening things about a week, 10 days. So when you look at the cycle of this, when we get to 2 weeks, get to 3 weeks, then we can kind of see, did things spike? And if not, then maybe you loosen them up a little bit more, and we do get to that point. That's why when Michael says September, that's 4 months from now.
Yep.
A lot can happen. What Scott Boras was talking about the possibility, he said it to us, that maybe there's a vaccine by September. You know, that all works to the NFL's advantage.
Dana White was on Get Up earlier talking about UFC 249 tomorrow night in Jacksonville, and he was asked about how he can guarantee safety for his fighters.
Well, like I've been saying, health and safety is something that we worry about every weekend, not just with the coronavirus, but obviously, you know, no fans. Less than half the team that usually works on an event will be working on this event. There's been multiple testing of the athletes. If you look on, you know, a lot of their Instagram and social media, they're getting the thing stuck up their nose and doing the antibody testing and, you know, a lot of things that we don't normally do for a fight.
So, it's tomorrow night. I'm pretty excited to watch this on ESPN pay-per-view. Looking forward to it. Main event, Tony Ferguson against Justin Gaethje. And Gaethje was asked about why he said that he wants Ferguson to break his nose.
So 12 years ago, my lip right here, it's split down the middle. I was not born like this. I took one headbutt. It went through my nose, through my lip. And, yeah, it pretty much collapsed my septum. I had surgery, but I didn't get it fixed till 6 months after the initial injury. So my bones, you know, healed up, and they couldn't get through my right side. So I don't want to take time off. I don't want to pay for it. So if Tony cracks me in the nose, the UFC's got to pay for it, and I'll be good to go. After I get the W, I'll have the belt. You know, that'll make me feel good going through the healing process.
Wow.
UFC is it's a special kind of sport.
Yes, it's a lot going on there.
By the way, did you guys see a headline today that Evander Holyfield wants to follow Mike Tyson into a boxing comeback?
Yep.
What are your thoughts, Michael?
Well, I mean, in his case, it's sad because he needs the money. And, you know, when you hear Evander speak, he's not the same way he was. According to you, Mike doesn't need the money. He's living fairly comfortably, so he's probably doing it because he wants to do it.
Evander's 57, of course, took a lot more punishment than Mike. You know, Evander went up 5 weight classes during the course of his career. You know, he was not naturally a heavyweight. Mm. His rise to getting there was unbelievable. And what he put his body through and the punishment he took in the wars, yeah, to Michael's point. But he has said
that he was on that A-Rod show that, you know, he lost all his money.
Yeah, and he said he wants to fight Tyson in an exhibition for charity. I will tell you this. As crazy as it is, and I don't know how I'd feel about it, particularly with Evander being 57, if they did a 5-round, 4-round exhibition and did it on pay-per-view, Holyfield versus Tyson, I think people are paying for it.
Yeah, I think so.
But Michael?
Yeah, probably.
But it doesn't...
Make it ideal.
Seems like he's healthy. Evander doesn't seem like he's healthy.
And lastly, guys, I don't know if you're aware, but The Last Dance, episode 7 and 8, Sunday night, 9 o'clock on ESPN. Mm. I've heard it's incredible. We'll get to the Steve Kerr fight and so much more. Supposedly the heel that is Michael Jordan really comes out even more in these episodes. Shaq was on Get Up and said that Michael would dominate today's NBA.
He'd average 45, and the league would be complaining about 2 players. I'd be like, Michael's too good. And the kid named Shaq down in Orlando is 2-dimensional. What are we going to do?
Of course, episode 7 and 8, Sunday night, 9 o'clock, ESPN. That'll do it for ENN on this Friday evening.
Wow, that was quite an ENN.
Told you it was often.
A lot of stuff.
Friday. You almost have to do that on a Friday.
Have to. Got to get a lot in.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.